Turn with me to Revelations chapter 19. Revelations chapter 19. We're going to look at verses, I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. We're going to look at but one verse and one phrase that caught me off guard, swept me off my feet, gave me excitement. Let's begin reading in Revelations 19 and verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, or of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of my brethren that were the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Wow, just reading that, stopping there. In these first 13 verses, we notice glorious and vibrant names or phrases given unto our sovereign Redeemer: salvation, glory, honor, power, true and righteous. The Lord omnipotent reigneth. He's called faithful and true. He's called the Word of God. But I want to single out one phrase, one description given to our Master and to no one else. And that is found in verse 12. Look with me. And on his head were many crowns. Many crowns. That's not said anywhere else about anyone other than our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Many crowns. This description, this phrase, or this quality, united with his character, is both fascinating and wonderful to his people. I believe in this phrase, we discern both Christ's person and his accomplishments. In this phrase, that on his head were many crowns. Now, I didn't tell Nathan, I don't tell him what song, and I didn't tell him, you know, about that first hymn that we sang. You know, he's a king. Well, I just smiled. I said, well, we're going to be discussing the king this morning who has many crowns, many crowns. Well, let's take a look here. There's just basically, I just got 2 points. Who he is and what he's done. Many crowns is simply for who he is. He's Lord of Lords and styled King of Kings in the Scriptures. A king has a crown, but he has many crowns, many crowns. First of all, he has the essential crown of his Godhead. That's who he is. He's God incarnate in the flesh. And because he is, he has this essential crown of his Godhead. Simply for the fact of he's the Lord Jesus Christ, he's Emmanuel, he's the balm of Gilead, he's the true and faithful witness, he's the Lord of lords, King of kings, numerous names. He's the mighty counselor, the wonderful God, the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are all names, descriptions of our sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. He has these crowns simply because of who he is, his essential character, his essential qualities, his attributes. We could say that as well, his attributes. Verse 1 in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, or directly has spoken unto us by Son. The language of God is Son language. Son language. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Many crowns. Christ, many crowns. What can be added to such a king as this? He had this crown upon his brow from all eternity. This crown has many other crowns. Or the word is actually crowns is many, which, you know, I'll go back and do the Greek. On his head were abundant diadems or laurels. Laurels. You remember the Greek games? They didn't have medals, but back they had laurels. That was given to the victor. That's what Christ has done. But who he is, he came with crowns. He came with many crowns. Diadems. He has many other crowns or diadems as his attributes declare. His sovereignty. He's higher than the heavens. His immutability. He's always the same. That cannot be said about any creature created. He has immutability. That's one of his crowns. His omnipresence. He's everywhere. We can't hide from him. We don't want to hide from him. Our sin nature, the old man, the flesh wants to hide, but it cannot be done. He's everywhere, at all times, every moment. His omniscience. He can't learn anything. He knows everything. His creatorship. He spoke, and it was. His essential holiness and purity. These are all multiple crowns that the Lord has because of his person. Let us celebrate his coronation with loudest anthems of praise and adoration to the all-sufficient, all-supreme, high monarch of everlasting glory. Christ said himself, he's the great I am. Because he says in John 14, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. In John 10:30, I and my Father are one. He has essential glory. So because of who he is, he has many crowns upon his royal head. Secondly, he has many crowns because of what he has done. What he has done. First, he has the crown of personal mediation. Mediation. He, by the sacrifice of his own body, tributed or resolved for us God's dispute against us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. God had a dispute against us. So how are we going to, how's that dispute going to be resolved? How's the arbitration? That's his mediatory office. That's another crown because he's of what he is and what he's done. How is our dispute with God? He has a dispute with us, but then when he reveals himself to us in the gospel, he makes us realize He has a dispute with us, and we have a dispute with him. Our ways, we think our ways are correct, but it's not so. Hebrews 9, verses 14 and 15. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That deserves a crown. And he's got it. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. We're born in sin. We're born hating God. And it's, well, I don't hate God. Well, yes, you do. You just don't know it. But when God reveals his truth to you, his purity, his holiness, his essential character, you're like, hide these mountains and rocks, hide me. I've got, and then you realize he's omnipresent, and you're like, I can't, there's nowhere I can go. If I go to the sea, he's there. If I go to the heavens, he's there. He's everywhere. So just come clean. Confess your sins. Forsake them. Trust Christ. Follow him in baptism. And continue among us. That's what he has. He has his crown for his personal, as a personal crown of mediation. Secondly, he has the crown of the day of his marriage or espousal to his bride. Turn to Songs of Solomon chapter 3. I've never seen this. Of course, I'd never really thought about many crowns until the other day. Songs of Solomon. Songs of Solomon, chapter 3, and verse 11. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, that's the church, and behold King Solomon, the Lord of glory, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. So there's that crown of his marriage espousal. Turn with me, I missed the passage here. Turn with me to Psalms 21. We're going back to God's essential, Christ's essential glory. I sure skipped right over that one. That's because I had a little baby print on the side of my notes. Psalms 21, verses 1 through 5. Psalms 21, verses 1 through 5. The king, that's who we're talking about, shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head, the Father and the Son. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest him even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great. In thy salvation, honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. So again, Christ, these crowns, these plural, is because of who he is. And now we're looking at what he's done. He has a crown of mediation, mediatorial. He has a crown of his espousal. When I thought about this marriage feast, this marriage between the groom and the bride, the groom being Christ, holy, harmless, undefiled. The bride, vile in herself. We're vile in ourselves. Unlovely, destitute, and forsaken. But because of our beloved, because of the groom, we are as he is. Owns her comeliness, says the scriptures, all to the Son of Righteousness. For in him is her fruit found. In him does her fruit grow. And in him is her fruit simply is. So do you have any fruit? I don't have much fruit. If you're a believer, you do. Hosea 14:8, that's in me is thy fruit found. In Christ we have fruit. That's just some more, some 30, 60. But we crown him. He's our husband. He has that crown. He also has the crown of redemption, the just for the unjust. He has the crown of righteousness imputed. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I can't. That's the fight that we have. That's the difficult we have. I told somebody one time years ago, I said, if the Lord ever saves you, you'll understand that the greatest enemy is self. You'll start fighting the things you never bothered you before. They'll start bothering you because you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he has the crown of righteousness imputed. He has the crown of particular discriminatory atonement, which we make no apologies for. He died that we may live. He has to die. We have to live. And that's the atonement. So he has that crown. He has the crown of full pardon and peace through the substitutionary death of Emmanuel. We have peace through him. He substituted himself for us. He has the crowning crown of resurrection glory. Death, where is your sting? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Why is that? I was thinking of that. Why is that statement? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Because he's the King and Lord over death. So if we live for him. If we die, that's gain. Why? Because he has the crowns. He has the crowns. And we're just passing from one world to the next. And lastly, but not really, because time wouldn't allow to exhaust these grand coronations of our prophet, priest, and king. But I got to think about this, and this is amazing. We crown him Lord of life. Wantingly, willingly, and with utmost humble reverence. We sing a song in hymn number 42, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let angels prostrate fall. Crown him Lord of all. We do that. We do that willingly. Matter of fact, he says we throw our crowns, which we have his righteousness, we have his comeliness, but it's like we just throw them at his feet because that's where they belong. And we sing in 477 at Calvary. We gladly own him as our king. We bow and throw our crowns at his feet. Revelations 4:10. This crowning, we're not giving him anything but what he deserves. But he needs nothing of us. But he rejoices that he sees these crowns that he's given us, which it's in the scriptures, different places. We're just laying them at his feet. He's the sovereign. He's essentially glory. He essentially has many crowns because of who he is and what he's done, just crown after crown. And then when you're reading the scripture and the Lord shows you something about yourself and about himself, it's just you just want to take another crown and just, here you go. The great collector of crowns, and he's worthy. But this crowning, by and from us, it shows several things. It shows reverence. How do you treat a king? How do you treat a master? How do you treat your employer? How do you treat your boss? With respect, this supersedes that. That's why the believer lives by faith and in everything else around him. So is this going to happen? Am I going to do this? Everything we do, It comes to the Word of God. We take it to the Word of God and say, is this for my benefit or not? Every single thing. Is anything we do, we take it to the Word of God. Is this going to be, how can I honor God and glorify Him in this situation? Because we have to live. We've got to live, we pay taxes, we have to do things. But this takes the preeminence. So this crowning from us shows reverence. It shows subserviency. We bow. We acknowledge our place. And we're thankful that it's that way. Thirdly, it shows adoration. I can imagine. I can only think in my mind's eye when Christ came into Jerusalem on that donkey, that colt, where it came into town, and they were saying hosannas. And then the Pharisees got upset. Tell your disciples to knock it off. And he said, I could tell them to knock it off, but if I told them the rocks and stones themselves would hail me, would glorify me, because this is my coronation unto the road to death for which I've come. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and I must needs go through it. So if the people aren't going to holler, these rocks, because I create, I have the crown. See this crown? It's a crown of creatorship. But they didn't understand it. They didn't know it. So it shows reverence, subservency, adoration, and joy. Joy. Finally, Philippians 3, finally, brethren, finally. Excellent message by Henry. Finally, everything said and done. You've surveyed your life. You're maybe 70, 80 years old. You're looking back. You're surveying your life. Things are coming to an end, coming to a close. Finally, brethren, what are we to do? Rejoice. Rejoice. The Lord is King, and He's your King, and He has many crowns. It shows joy. It shows worship. We gather together to worship and adore and give praise unto Him who deserves it. Who deserves it. And it really, I just love this thought. It gives peace. Just everything's going around and everything's going, you know, this country's trying to usurp authority. Russia's trying to usurp authority over Ukraine and then the United Nations and this and that and all these different things. And you step back and you get, it gets crazy, but you step back and you just, the world's a mess. And we're a mess, and this town's a mess, and this school's a mess, and our jobs are a mess. And yes, yes, yes. But you step back, and you look at Revelations, and you see He's got many crowns, and it's never going to change. And you just take a deep breath, and all right, I'm ready to go out in the world. You know, bring on that student that I just want to wring their name, the student that I'm trying to teach them, and they can't get it. It's just... Or people, our children, or ourselves, or our spouses, or whatever, won't listen or do whatever. He has many crowns. And it brings peace. Like I said, and it's just a favorite phrasing of mine, let the potsherds, that means the people of the world, who are 9 to 5 clocking in and trying to get ahead, let the scriptures say, let the potsherds of the world strive with one another. And I've always said that, and I said it to somebody the other day. I was talking to somebody on the phone. And I've always said, when I was in religion, I thought, well, when I'll get in a church basketball league, you know. And then as the Lord showed me the truth, it's like, why does the church even have a basketball? No. That's what I told this to him. I said, there's parks and recreations for all that stuff. It does not need to be brought in here. And so when we come here, what do we have for the children? The gospel. What do we have for the middle-aged people? The gospel. What do we have for the hoary-headed sinner? The gospel. And the gospel is, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And that'll bring you peace. When you can't find peace in yourself, you can't find peace in your wallet, you can't find peace in anything. Christ is our peace. And He's the King. He's over everything. He totally controls everything. So when I close, brethren, as we view our sweet and wondrous Redeemer, may it be with thanksgiving, as He is King, period. He is King. He has crowns too numerous to count. And it's all because of who He is and what He's done for us. For you, if you're a sinner. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And how could He succeed? Because on His head were many crowns. Lord be glorified. Bruce, would you close us?